I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome in. A Wednesday edition of the Burgundy and Gold today right here on the Team 980. We are always live and free on the Odyssey app. Lynell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 7 o'clock. Number to call is 301-230-0980. You can tweet at me as well if you want to keep the conversation rolling on social media. Same handle on each and every platform. It is at NELL_BTP. A lot to get to. Wow. Okay. A lot to get to. I'm doing some more research on the topic we're about to get into, and there is a stat that helps a certain somebody out, is what I will say. A lot to get to here throughout the course of the show. A couple of guests going to stop by per usual in the 5 o'clock hour. Our pal Kevin Sheehan going to join us coming up at about 5:30. We get his thoughts on where things stand currently with the Burgundy and Gold, his thoughts on Dan Quinn's self-created division tournament that Washington is participating in down the stretch. We'll also get his thoughts on a couple of veteran commanders that we're going to talk about here in the opening hour of the show. Tampa Bay Trey, Trevor Sikkema of Pro Football Focus going to join us at about 6:30. We'll take a spin around the National Football League with him. A lot to get to. Big picture when it comes to the NFL. The Cleveland Browns had a report come out from their ESPN affiliate that it is currently leaning towards the Browns taking a quarterback coming up in April's draft. We'll see what Shador can do here in the final three starts of the season to maybe change people's opinion. We'll talk about that in the 6 o'clock hour when we go around the National Football League. Also, our resident Colts insider, Anthony Haney, going to give us a scoop on whether or not we'll see Anthony Richardson at some point throughout the remainder of the season, or will they keep going with Phillip Rivers? And then the news that we got confirmed today, Tua Tagovailoa being demoted to the emergency third-string quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And it makes you question what the future is in Miami for Tua and their head coach, Mike McDaniel, who's got plenty of ties here to the nation's capital. Touch a little bit on Hard Knocks as well. I think I actually want to start there. I do want to touch a little bit on Hard Knocks. I'll be transparent with you all. I didn't get to watch the entire episode because all of you were stingy and refused to send me a login so that I could watch HBO Max. So I can't watch it. But Twitter is a tremendous, tremendous platform, tremendous medium, and you get to see all the highlights and cuts and clips coming off of Twitter. And what stood out to me in terms of what I've seen on social media to this point, Joe Witt Jr. in the lower third graphic that HBO Hard Knocks is using, they're referring to him as the defensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. And those of you that got the chance to watch the entirety of the episode, please call us, 301-230-0980, because maybe you can fill in some of the blanks that I think exist with this current situation. I have long said it, and I feel like I was the, and I ain't going to say I feel like, I was the only one all year long coming to the defense of Joe Witt. And I said it when the decision was made to remove the play calling duties from him. I thought it was Dan Quinn succumbing to public pressure, not an actual desire to do the job. I don't think he believes it's Joe Witt's fault either. The defense sucks, not because of Joe Witt's play calling, but because of the talent that Washington has on that side of the football, because of the injuries that they've dealt with on that side of the football. With that being said, I think he returns next year on this staff. Will it be as the defensive coordinator? Probably not. Probably not. Will Dan Quinn be the defensive coordinator? From my vantage point, probably not. How they play that whole situation, I think, in terms of like things I'm paying attention to as we continue to wind down the season, their defensive coordinator search should be on and popping right now. They should be looking for a defensive coordinator right now. And what I would recommend doing, if I was them, I would go to the collegiate ranks. I would go to the collegiate ranks because they need to modernize this defense, right? And Dan Quinn has tried to modernize his scheme as he's moved throughout the course of his career. In Seattle, it was strictly cover three, and that's really what they specialized in, and they had big, hulking, downhill, thump you type of linebackers. I think you saw him in Atlanta slowly transition to less of the cover three stuff. You saw a little bit more man-to-man coverage. And then in Dallas, you saw him really introduce that hybrid role to the defense, right? Having safeties in the box, getting faster within your front seven and so on and so forth. He wants to do that here in Washington. I want some college principles installed here because I think what we're seeing in the NFL is a lot of teams, offensively at least, taking college principles and it's taking the league by storm because on the other side of the football, there are not a lot of collegiate defensive minds, which is why I think Mike McDaniel's Seattle defense is so damn good and why his defense in Baltimore was historically good because he spent time in Ann Arbor as the defensive coordinator of the Michigan Wolverines. That is why I think his defenses have been so good. He's been able to change and adapt with the times. I don't think Dan Quinn has done a good job of that. I don't. Especially this year in terms of just purely adapting. It's honestly my number one gripe with this season. I still don't understand why it took so long for Dan Quinn to make defensive adjustments this year. He stripped Joe Witt of the play calling duties prior to the Week 11 game. Leading up to that point even, there had been no personnel changes made at all for the Washington Commanders on defense. So that's just something to chew on and think about as we wrap up the final few weeks of the season here. But I thought this was interesting. A lot of folks, when Joe Witt had those play calling duties taken away from him, they wondered his involvement on a day-to-day basis. How would he be involved in the game plan? How would he be involved in terms of meetings? What would his responsibilities be on game day? Well, on Hard Knocks last night, you got a little bit of insight into the role that Joe Witt Jr. is playing based off of him being up in front of the room, speaking to the entire defense, still leading this entire defense. Take a listen.
The quarterback is a very competitive dual threat guy, okay? He will try to run the ball like a running back. He will try to run you over. He will try to stiff arm. He doesn't really run out of bounds. He doesn't slide a whole bunch, okay? We can get the ball off of him. The ball is life, it is air, and we need it.
We've heard that statement echoed all throughout his tenure here, dating back to last year. The ball is life, the ball is air, we need it. They still suck at producing turnovers. Let's just call it what it is, right? With Dan Quinn calling the plays, they suck at forcing turnovers. With Joe Witt calling the plays, they weren't good at forcing turnovers. What I wanted to play that for you, the reason I wanted to play that for you, though, I think it gives you just a little bit of insight in terms of, hey, you all think that Joe Witt sucks and knows nothing about football. I mean, I'm going to tell you what y'all think because that's the way that you all acted. When we were having the conversation of, well, whose fault is it really? Is it the scheme or is it the personnel? And we had this conversation so many different times throughout the course of this year. And the fact that he is still as heavily involved as he is, it's why I'm so steadfast in saying, whether you all like it or not, he is going to be back here in some form or fashion. He is going to be back in some sort of in some form or fashion. He is. It probably won't be as a defensive coordinator. Maybe he turns into the pass game coordinator on defense, the secondaries coach. They're going to find a role for him on this defense. It's a relationship-based business. I think the guys in that building, and I know it probably seems like a fallacy that I'm telling here because of the results, those guys in the building play hard for him. They respect him. They got a lot of love for Joe Witt, man. And I think, more importantly, they respect his football acumen. They do. I firmly believe that. The big question is, how do they reassign him? What type of role does he have? Like I said, I think it'll be here in some form or fashion, but it ain't ever too early to start thinking about what Washington's going to do at the defensive coordinator spot because it's a big piece to solving their problems right now that they have on defense. I'll say this, though, in terms of the defense. As I continue to reiterate, the crux of their problems are a byproduct of the personnel not being good enough at all three levels. The defensive line, linebacker, and in the secondary. When we take a timeout, and we'll do so here momentarily, we're going to look at and revisit the list that we put together. This was about three weeks ago, about the Commanders that were under the most pressure gearing up for the final 6 weeks of the season. And I think some of the guys that are on this list, we'll evaluate it, we'll give our thoughts in terms of how they've played to this point. But as you roll throughout this hour, I'm telling you, and maybe you can think about it this way, just to prime you and warm your brain up, so to speak. Sitting here right now, knowing the 11 starters that Washington trotted out there in week one against the Giants, of those 11 starters, how many of those guys do you have an unwavering conviction in, like, hey, I need them back next year? How many of those guys? And the more and more I think about that, the more and more I realize, damn, maybe we're further away than we honestly believe. Because I think there is a major personnel issue on defense, and I am curious to see how they figure it out this offseason, because it isn't easy. You don't have a lot of resources by way of the draft. You have money, but you got to be smart with your money because you got some long-term extensions that you're going to have to get done here as well with certain cats. So buckle up, honestly. Buckle up. It's going to be a very, very interesting final 3 weeks. If you're looking for something to watch later tonight, I'll tell you what I'm going to be watching. I'm seeing it right now via the Commander's X account. Frankie Louvu was mic'd for sound against the New York Giants. Is he somebody that you want back on this defense next year? 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. A lot more to get to. Kevin Sheehan going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. When we get back, though, let's revisit that list that we compiled 3 weeks ago. Which Commander players are under the most pressure in the final 6 weeks? That was 3 weeks ago. There are three games left. We'll reevaluate that list next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Just getting rolling here on a Wednesday edition of the Burgundy and Gold Today. Linnell Willingham, Anthony Haney taking you up to 7 o'clock here on the Burgundy and Gold Today. You can check us out on the always free Odyssey app as well. We're going to take your calls coming up here at the bottom of the hour on a couple of different Commanders, but I do want to revisit this list that we compiled exactly 3 weeks ago today. And the question that we were asking is which Commanders were under the most pressure in the final 6 weeks of the season. And the six dudes that were on this list were Chris Paul, Mikey Samristil, Deron Payne, Johnny Newton, Cliff Kingsbury, and Jaden Daniels. Those were the Commanders that I thought were under the most pressure in the final 6 weeks of the season. We're going to go through each and every guy on this list, and we're going to spend a little extra time on one guy in particular because I am a little bit stunned in terms of his lack of impact this year. Let's start with Chris Paul, who is honestly been a godsend for this unit. Cliff Kingsbury spoke earlier this afternoon before practice, and he gave Chris Paul a pretty decent amount of credit, and for good reason, right? I think he also gave Brandon Coleman some glowing reviews as well for the camp of folks out there that think that Brandon Coleman just sucks and the team thinks that he's not good. That is not at all the case. The reason that Brandon Coleman was benched, the reason that Chris Paul was afforded this opportunity was because Brandon Coleman's inability to stay healthy. Brandon Coleman tried to gut it out and play through an injury he suffered in training camp, which is why he missed, I believe it was like 17 or 18 consecutive days in training camp. because of the injury. And ultimately, in week number two, he went down in that game against the Packers. They benched him the following week against Las Vegas. And Chris Paul has played the guard position as well as anybody in the National Football League this year. And there's some metrics out there that, you know, point to just how well Chris Paul's been able to play. But I think all in all, like, we get it. Chris Paul has been, this year at least, an absolute badass at the position. So he is a guy that I think has earned a second contract here in Washington. The question is, how deep in their pockets are they willing to go to keep a guy like Chris Paul? Because if they feel the way that they say they do about Brandon Coleman, if the price for Chris Paul ultimately gets too high, Brandon Coleman is here under contract for you. And according to Cliff Kingsbury, this is a quote from him earlier today, he says he views Brandon Coleman and thinks he has the potential to be a high-end starter in this league at either guard or tackle. So there is a unwavering confidence in the building, at least when it comes to Brandon Coleman. Chris Paul's pass blocking this year, and I'm looking at the numbers via PFF right now. Chris Paul is the fourth highest graded pass blocker via Pro Football Focus's metrics. As a run blocker, he grades way lower and is quite honestly, according to the rankings, one of the worst. But, right, you see that there's definitely some good there with him. I think he is someone that's played well. And down the stretch, he's going to have a real big challenge. He got to see Dexter Lawrence this past week. He'll see Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis this week. And then he'll see Oso Odighizuwa, Kenny Clark, and Quinnen Williams on Christmas Day. So he is somebody who's very much still under the microscope. But I think, to this point, has earned the right to come back here at the right number. The second guy is Mikey Samuels still, and we talked about him a lot yesterday. And Ant brought up the tremendous point of, like, his evaluation, I think, will be easier than everyone else's here. Because bottom line is, if you play well down the stretch against Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, Devonta Smith, and A.J. Brown, you probably are that guy, pal. And maybe you could be slotted in as this team's starting corner next year. I know some folks in the media, and we asked this question to Chris Russell yesterday. I don't know how confident the fan base is. I don't know how confident the media group would be in bringing back Mikey Samuels still going into next year with Mikey and Trey Amos as your starting cornerback tandem. What level of confidence would you all have in that? And as I sit here right now, the jury's still out for me. I think Mikey Samuels still is made up of all the right stuff. That's what I don't want to get misconstrued here. I think whenever we have these conversations about these dudes, like, just because I'm critical of somebody's play in the way that they perform doesn't mean I think they're a permanent bum or that they can't improve their play. Last year, Mikey Samuels still was one of the biggest bright spots on the entire football team. And a lot of us looked at him as a building block moving forward. I knew he was going to struggle moving back to the slot. One, it's a more difficult position. And then two, going into your second year in the NFL, they're asking you to once again wholesale change how you do things. And I think he is going to get comfortable. I hope they allow him to get comfortable on the outside, because I think with his athleticism and the way that he plays the position, playing him on the outside is probably what is best suited for him moving forward. Johnny Newton's the other guy. Another guy that's on this list. And we have talked about Jazan Newton ad nauseum, and I really don't know what else to say about it. I saw Mark Bullock do a All-22 breakdown of Jazan Newton, and I saw Grant Paulson commented on it saying, see, like, that's what he does best, line him up outside shade of the guard and let him rush the passer. Grant went as far as to say maybe, and I think I probably agree, I'm at the point right now, and we're going to get to these two dudes in a second, but with the lack of pass rush juice that you're getting from Deron Payne and Javon Kinlaw, why not give Jazan Newton more pass rush opportunities? If that is his strength and that is what he is ultimately best at, Why does he not get more opportunities to do it? Honestly. Now, the pass rush grade for Jazon Newton, for Deron Payne, for Javon Kinlaw, it simply isn't good enough. Deron Payne, for example, in terms of Pro Football Focus and the grade that they gave him for his pass rushing grade, he is rated a 65.6, 45th in the National Football League. Names ahead of him like Tahir Tart and Sebastian Joseph Day and Neville Gallimore, guys that aren't paid as handsomely as Deron Payne is. So, yeah, I think I may be in the business now of wanting to get Jazon Newton more snaps just for the hell of it. Not that he's done anything in particular to earn those snaps. I just think what you're watching right now on the interior just isn't good enough. And by the way, on the season, Jazon Newton has 160 pass rush snaps. Javon Kinlaw has 320, so nearly half of them. But Jazon Newton is a much higher graded pass rusher than Javon Kinlaw is via Pro Football Focus. He's on the clock for me. And this goes back to the Adam Peters conversation. If he turns into nothing more than a rotational defensive tackle, I think it is a clear loss in a L for where he was drafted. They've got to find a way to get more out of him. The other guy I had on this list was Cliff Kingsbury and Jayden Daniels. Cliff spoke earlier today. I'll be honest, I'm cool with Cliff coming back next year. Would I be heartbroken if he took a head coaching job or a head coaching job in the NFL or in college? Wouldn't lose sleep over it at all. Wouldn't lose sleep over it at all. I think he's a good coordinator. I think there are some clear flaws that he has, though. And I also think they need to look long and hard at their scheme offensively and ask themselves, is this scheme most conducive to the success of our young quarterback? And right now, based off of strictly their unwillingness to line up under center, run the football, and play more of a smash-mouth style, I would say no. I would say no, they're not doing that. The final guy, obviously, is Jayden Daniels. He was under the most pressure in the final 6 weeks and isn't going to get a chance to really answer to that pressure. The last memory of Jayden Daniels that we're going to have for 2025 is a 9-of-20 game for 78 yards and a pick. So he's got to get better moving forward. There's one guy I left off of this list. I want to talk about him in great detail on the other side of the break. I want to get into some numbers centered around Deron Payne. We'll talk on Deron Payne next. 301-230-0980 is the number. I want to get into Deron Payne here. That's the final guy that we put under the microscope here for the final 6 weeks of the season. And I don't know. I've had a lot of time to think about this before bringing this to the air. Right now, to me, both Deron Payne and Javon Kinlaw simply are not cutting it here for me in the nation's capital. They're not. Their play this year has not nearly been good enough, point blank. And when you look at this defense as a whole for Washington, especially their run defense and the way that that has kind of struggled here, Washington's got the fifth worst rush defense in the National Football League. Last year, Washington had the third worst run defense in the National Football League. And we were told, here comes the cavalry. Javon Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise, Eddie Goldman, who's been really, really good and to me has played the best out of all the defensive tackles. Those guys were supposed to come here to save and shore up this Commanders run defense, and they have done the exact opposite. I think they are a worse run defense this year than they were last year. And it's tough for me because Deron Payne is someone that I think simply just hasn't been good enough. If we're being frank about it, Javon Kinlaw is someone who simply is not good enough, has not been good enough. Those two guys heading into next year have to be better. I don't even care if they're around. If you had to ask me right now whether I wanted them back or not, I would say the hell with them. What have they done this year? And you can pull up all the tape you want. Their impact has not been good enough. You can't say you're getting good defensive tackle play when you're the fifth worst run defense in the National Football League. The bottom line, something's got to give. Either your linebackers are trash or your defensive line is trash, one or the other. You can't be a bottom five rushing group and everything be okay. But all year long, we've trotted out the exact same guys within the front seven. Why? Why? And in the case of Deron Payne, the problem is so much bigger for me. Where is the 2022 version of the guy that wears number 94? Where is he? Is he in Tuscaloosa? Does he stay in Ashburn on game days? Deron Payne had 11 and a half sacks in 2022 and got the bag from this organization. I don't feel like he's had an impactful stretch of games since. Call it what you want. Oh, yeah, 18 tackles for loss as well. Dominant, right? What has it been this year? Two sacks, 37 combined tackles, and six tackles for loss. Not cutting it. Not cutting it. Deron Payne this year, in terms of just the way that he has performed at the defensive tackle spot, you can give me all your PFF numbers, you can give me all your ESPN numbers that you want, because the ESPN numbers actually kind of favor Deron Payne. It will paint the picture that, oh, he has been better than maybe the naked eye would say, but I watch these games multiple times most weeks. I watch it over. Deron Payne this year is the 80th ranked defensive tackle in terms of run defense grade. He's ranked 80th. Can I look up where he ranks amongst highest paid defensive tackles? Can we get those numbers? The production simply does not match the salary. And it's frustrating because I was sold this bill of goods that Deron Payne, with John Allen being out of the building, was going to take this step forward. Deron Payne has such a good offseason. Deron Payne this, Deron Payne that. Where's the production? Where is it? It doesn't exist. Each and every week, this guy goes out there and steals a check. And you can say I'm being over the top. You can say I'm doing too much. You all watch the games just how I watch the games. And you're telling me that Deron Payne is worth $26 million against the cap? He's got the largest cap hit on the entire roster. And makes probably one of the smallest impacts. Where, oh, where is Deron Payne? Where, oh, where is Javon Kinlaw? Both of them. Nobody is free of blame in this conversation when it comes to those two. One's not better than the other. I gave you the grade for Deron Payne. He's ranked 80th in terms of his run defense grade. Oh, guess where? Guess where Javon Kinlaw's rated? 73rd. There are 32 starting defensive tackles, duos in the NFL, right? I mean, 64 guys. They're grading backups ahead of these dudes. And I know when you talk to folks around the league, there's probably this thought that, oh, those are the two best defensive players that Washington has. Okay. This year, Deron Payne counts $26 million against the cap. Washington would save $17 million against the cap if they chose to move on from him at season's end. I feel like I know what the listeners are going to say. I feel like I know how your calls are going to shift, but I want to hear you on it at 301-230-0980. Would you part ways with Deron Payne for $17 million in cap relief? What you doing? 301-230-0980. And it feels like these two, and maybe I'm like coming out of left field with this. Do we ever talk about those two? Do we? Why? Because they're not that good. As I continue to reiterate, when it comes to the problems that the team has defensively, it's because guys aren't that good. Point blank. And when your best, or when you're the guy that has the biggest cap hit on your team is giving you some of the smallest impact, I have a problem with it. Durant Payne and Javon Kinlaw have not cut it this year for me. Honestly, they're not good enough. Point blank, they have to be better. Or else the team's not going to be better. This guy's got the highest cap hit on the team, and he's got 37 tackles. Jacob freaking Martin has made more of a pass rush impact than Deron Payne. Jacob freaking Martin. But I got to watch Deron Payne run out on Sunday with his shirt off, right? I got to watch Deron Payne run out Sunday with his shirt off and hear how tough he is because he can play in the cold. Tired of it. Fed up with it. This has been a season from hell. It is crazy because all I heard all offseason from this coaching staff was how good of a summer Deron had. How good of an offseason program Deron Payne had. Good my ass. Good my ass. Got to be better at all three levels of this defense. And it starts and finishes with those two dudes. Until we get some quality defensive tackles in here, this defense is going to continue to suck. Because we can't get after the quarterback. Imagine this, right? We were acting like the damn world. We were acting like the world was on fire when Dorrance Armstrong tore his ACL against Dallas. We acted like the season was over. Yet the dude with the highest cap hit on the entire team couldn't at all make up for the loss of Dorrance Armstrong. It may seem like I have some sort of personal vendetta here. I promise you that is not the case at all. Nothing's ever personal with me. I just can't, for the life of me, wrap my mind around how little impact Deron Payne makes week in and week out. Guy that we never talk about. Why? Not because, see, it's good as an offensive lineman when you don't get talked about. I think it's bad as a defensive lineman when you don't get talked about. But I want to leave it up to you all. Washington, first of all, let me give it to you straight. Deron Payne this year has the highest cap hit on the Commanders. And if you can for me, I'll look during the break as well. Who's got the highest cap hit next year on the Commanders? Would it be Deron Payne again? Because that's what's blowing me. Can we get if he wanted to come back at a much lower ticket, I'd be all ears.
He would have it next year as well. At 28.
$28 million against your cap next year is what Deron Payne is set to count for. If you part ways with him at season's end, you get $17 million in cap relief. If you had to make the decision right now, would you be bringing back Deron Payne? 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980 is the number. And it's not just a Deron Payne problem. It's a Javon Kinlaw problem for me as well. Both of those two dudes, one's got a Kinlaw's cap hit this year was mighty low.
Just five this year, but it'll be 16 next year.
Jumps to 16 next year. Our defensive tackles next year. Holy hell. When you put it that way, our defensive tackle duo next year is set to account for $44 million of the cap for just as little production as you could possibly get from two guys. It's going to be the most important, most difficult offseason of the entire Adam Peters era. $26 million against the cap, and Jacob freaking Martin has more pressures than you. Eddie Goldman is a better run defender than the both of them. Got to hold our guys accountable. Do you want them back next year or not? 301-230-0980.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Can you guys tell that I have a problem today? I have an attitude. See, this is why I love this profession. This is why I love this medium. And I'm not trying to rub it in. I am pissed about the way this season is going. I am totally dumbfounded at how terrible things have gone for this group. And when I think about next year and I take a look at the books, that's like being $30,000 in debt. And then you realize, oh, I got to pay $100,000 for X. That's not going to be worth $100,000. Terrible example. Terrible analogy. I'm coachable. I can learn. I improve. Does De'Ron Payne? Does Javon Kinlaw? Does Jerzon Newton? We may have the worst defensive tackle room in the NFL. I'm trying to see how many outlandish things I can say before my mic is turned off today. I am going rogue. I am totally unfiltered. I don't give a damn. And I'm mad. So remember that when you call today at 301-230-0980. Remember that when my voice rises to a pitch that some of you can't handle. Anthony, I'm angry.
Oh, I know.
301-230-0980. In reality, though, getting back to it and being serious about it. I guess we'll start with you, man. I know we have plenty of calls here, but I do want to hear from you because Lord knows what unintelligent thoughts we're going to get from the phones. Would you bring him back next year at $28 million against the cap? What? Give me things you would rather do than bring De'Ron Payne back at that number. I would rather bang my head against this microphone.
Hey, yo.
Ow, that really hurt.
I know that hurt. That's why you should not be doing
that. It's metal as hell.
Yeah, I'm not bringing him back. It would definitely be a deal restructuring kind of thing. If I could, but at $28 million, I'm definitely not doing that. So
there's literally nothing, dog. And I'm not even a feet person.
Are you restructuring his contract at least? Because he does have 2 years left. The last one you can void and get out of.
I'd restructure it, but you think he's somebody that's going to take a pay cut? Does he look like he wants to take a pay cut?
Hey, look.
Does he look like he even want to play football?
No, he does look like
all he want to do is hit people. All he want to do is hit people that are smaller than him.
He retaliated.
What was that energy for John Michael Schmitz this past weekend, Slim? You ain't get one pressure against the Giants. This is why we suck. 301-230-0980. Would you bring him back next year at that number? Rod is in Landover. Rod, and I apologize, y'all. I'm on one today. I'm letting you know now, I'm on one today. Rod, how are you, brother?
Hey, what's up, Brad? Trust me, Brad, you ain't the only one that feel that way about these jokers, man. Listen, once again, man, once again, as Commanders fans, man, we fail for the banana in the tailpipe, man. This happened to us, man, every year. This happened to us, man. I mean, you know, I like to think that we some intelligent football fans, but every single year, bro, they do this to us, man.
Every year.
We've been known for years that De'Ron Payne is really some trash. But for some reason, they always try to convince us in training camp. How many times we hear about how good guys is in training camp?
Had an excellent summer. He's in the best shape of his life. Want to hear that?
I done heard that for about 15 years straight about different players. And then when the season starts, I'm like, huh? You know, so, man, look, they done brought in Kinlaw. They done drafted Newton. Man, this is bad, man.
Eddie Goldman, look.
Normally a DJ.
Eddie Goldman, the best thing that happened to the room. He's been their best D tackle all year. A guy that was retired 2 years ago.
I wouldn't bring back Payne if he told me he would give me money and he would play for free. Because if you got him on the field, that means somebody else is not on the field. But yeah. I don't want him on this team at all. Get rid of him, cut him. Look, he need to get out of here, man. Payne has sucked for a minute, man. He had that one year where he was all right.
He's supposed to be pass rushing defensive tackle. That's what I don't get. He got paid because he racked up 11.5 sacks. And Slim hadn't sniffed 7 sacks since. And they had the nerve to be signing checks on his hand, and we was getting our ass kicked when we handed out that contract to him.
My point is, who said he was supposed to be good? Him? That's what I'm saying. They said he was supposed to be good. This man, DeRon Payne has been like this. The only year I can remember him being dominant was that one year. How long he's been on the team now? He's been on the team about 6 years.
It's been a while. He's 28. Like here's the crazier part about it, right?
Man, this guy got to go, bro.
He is, and I'm trying to find the exact number. In terms of his AAV and what he makes per year, he's the 10th highest paid defensive tackle in football. Top 10. He doesn't sniff the top 10 in terms of production.
You know what's sad, bro? Man, let's just look at our division. When you look at the Eagles, they got two bad boys in the middle.
That are better than him. Right? Dallas has 3 guys that are better than him. Don't, Rod, I'm going to let you go, Rod, because our lines are full.
Okay.
But damn, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. Clark is in D.C. What's up, Clark?
Hey, Linnell, man. Thank you so much, man, for taking my call.
I appreciate you calling, good brother. I need to hear from my people them today. Because, clearly I'm off my rocker.
Hey, look here, man. Every time I hear the quote, I got that bang, I get so pissed. This guy here, man, was a sham. He's a sham. He's not even worth the money. Matter of fact, he's not even worth the talent. He needs to be in the UFL.
Rod said he would have to pay us for him to be on the team.
Hey, look, check this out. Check this out, though. If I'm not mistaken, I don't believe this regime here was the group that gave him that money.
No, they're not.
Ron Rivera.
It was.
Okay. Yo, I don't think this group is going to give him the money. He's not going to get it back this go-round, so he might as well pack his bag. Okay, that's it. I'm out.
I appreciate you as always, man. 301-230-0980 is the number. We're going to shift the conversation as we ease our way into the 5 o'clock hour. Kevin Sheehan, get ready to join the program. We want your calls on this. It has been a less than stellar year for DeRon Payne. 2 sacks, 37 combined tackles, just 6 tackles for loss, and 6 QB hits. In 14 games, he is slated to count $28 million next year against the cap. You would save $17 million by moving on from him. Are you bringing back DeRon Payne next year? Your calls on that next.